Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
And now I'd like to bring our listeners back to 2010. And in one of the many interviews I did with Micheál, we did this one just before he hung up his mic. And we spoke on this day about his preparation on match days.
Well, an early start. I'm a believer in early starts, and it reminds me of a story long, long ago. People leaving Dingle going to a Munster final. And they were passing through Lisbowl and they saw people sort of amazed that they'd been going so early. And one of them rolled down the window and said, "Not to worry, we're going to stop everywhere on the way to Cork." So it's the same way with me. I leave early just in case I have to stop a few times. And I would stop, you know, often maybe go to Mass in Gardiner Street Church or somewhere, and you'll meet people either inside who'll be more interested in the match than the gospel at that particular time. You'll meet them on the way out and you'll talk about, you know, and they'll give you their county slant on it. You sample the atmosphere there on the way to Croke Park. I always set off early.
Is it true that you'll be watching them coming off the bus, like the Cork and Down guys, yes, analysing
indeed.
Them, how they're going to behave or perform?
You get an idea from looking at people, you know, how keyed up are they, you know, and different now for a player who's played there several times as against a player who's played there once. You know, you'll see whether they're anxious for the game or whether they're a little bit afraid of the occasion. You'll learn a lot from observing and listening rather than talking at times. But it's nice to have a word with some of them, and, you know, to have a word with the manager, and they won't say anything except general things, but you can read into that as well. I think the whole thing is to sample and experience the occasion, because to me and to most people, it's much more than 70 minutes when they're out there playing. The whole day is part of it, and the aftermath is part of it. And the best example I ever got of that, I was down in Mayo on a day of a replay of a Connacht final when Mayo beat Galway. And Mayo were due to play, or the winners were due to play Kerry the following Sunday. And I called a good friend of mine, and Tahar Leo Moore. And we spoke for a good while about the following Sunday, what was likely to happen. When I was leaving, he said something that is very true, but he put it lovely. "Isn't it an awful pity we haven't more than a week to look forward to it?" So I think that encapsulates the whole thing. It's part of a year that ends in September, and every part of it can be very interesting.
Can you remember the first time you went to Croke Park as commentator?
As clear as I can remember what happened this morning on my way, yeah.
Tell me about it.
Well, it was St. Patrick's Day in 1949, the occasion of the Railway Cup finals. For years and years since the Railway Cups were introduced in the 20s until they were discontinued. Very big at the time, drawing crowds of about 40,000 people. It also coincided with the day that the flat racing started. So Micheál O'Hare, who used to cover the racing as well as the Gaelic, he always did the first game, and that alternated between hurling and football each year. I then was doing the second game, but I was young, I knew very little about it. I had been sent a ticket to go to Croke Park. I didn't even know where to go when I got there. Went in under the old Hogan stand. It was more like a shed underneath with rafters and iron bars and everything visible. And I just stood there, didn't know what to do. I didn't even see the hurling game that was going on outside. And in one sense, I wished I was somewhere else. There was nobody there to meet me or to bring me to the box or anything like that. I was meant to know my own way around. And
were you a bit frightened, then, a bit nervous?
There was a phone under the stand. And at some stage, somebody came out, and he was obviously speaking into the GPO where Radio Éireann was seated at the time. And I heard him saying, "Who's doing the second match? I don't see anyone around." And with that, I advanced and I said, "I'm doing it. Hold on there, I'll get you up as soon as Micheál O'Hare's finished." I went up, and Micheál, I had met him the day before, and he told me, "As soon as the game starts, you'll be okay." And then he left, heading off to Balldoyle to cover the opening of the flat. I went in. His word was a true word. The moment the game started and the ball was thrown in, I was looking at the game and describing it to the people. It ended in a draw. And I remember everything about the following few days. It was a Thursday. The Munster team decided not to go home. stay in Dublin cheaper than transport. Now, from Thursday until Sunday, if you like, the culture of the time was drink for sports people. They drank steadily from Thursday until Sunday, and some of them were in a pretty bad state going out for the replay. But yet, Leinster, who had trained on the Saturday, went home on the Thursday and rested. It was the biggest win that Munster ever had.
That's a bad moral lesson.
Yeah, I don't think it would work a second time. And I often marvel at it.
You have a fantastic attitude to life. You don't seem to worry that much. You look about, I don't know, 25, even though you're meant to be 80. Yeah. But what is your philosophy of life? What is your secret, I suppose, for maintaining a happy
life?
Well,
I think you mentioned it there. I'm not a worrier. A lot of people worry about things that they have no power over. They cannot alter them. And you have to accept them and maybe do something, but not to worry in particular. You know, na be bora. And you'll find it more, I think, among rural people. You know, they don't worry as much, I think, as others. Tá seanáchas na Gaeilge, bí an cáir dé ar an móthar. The help of God is on the road, and the road can be anything. Is gur a cáir dé ná an doras. Why should you be worrying when there's a greater power that can maybe solve it unknown to you?
That was the late Micheál Ómar Hertig speaking to me back in 2010. And I'd like to commiserate this morning with his wife, Helena, and all of his 8 children and his wider family. Also, I'd like to remind listeners as we leave you today about one of his favourite sayings, advice his own grandmother gave him and one that he shared with the nation during COVID times when I got to interview him on The Late Late Show. Dúshach le dúshacht ag bracadh an lé. May you rise with enthusiasm at the dawn of the day. Ayeshe go raibh anam uasal.